Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. I don't know why I'm laughing so hard. Well, if you guys are watching us on YouTube right now, we are in a new studio with a new backdrop. People were saying, oh, like what happened to the white couch? Well, guess what? I don't want anyone in my apartment anymore. So here we are in an actual studio. Deep D was eating all my snacks.
No, I wasn't. Rude. No, it is nice to be in a studio because you kind of get in the headspace of podcasting. And when I'm on your couch, I feel like I'm just like chatting with a friend and just like kind of falling asleep and being comfy, if that makes sense.
Someone sent us this really funny DM about how sleepy our voices are. They're like, you guys should like not be podcasters. Like you should quit because your voices make me sleepy.
If I listened to what everyone else said, I wouldn't do anything.
And I thought it was so funny. I was like, you're right. Like I even listened to our last podcast episode and I was like, I could fall asleep to this.
Yeah, maybe we should take up meditation.
No.
Well, so what's going on? What's new with you?
Literally nothing.
Literally seeing me every day.
I see Deep D more than anyone else in my life. We are barely surviving this podcast. We have no idea what we're doing half the time. And yeah, that's kind of it. And I'm tired.
Yeah, I am too, actually. I've kind of been like skipping out on like dinners and stuff with my friends. I used to go home all the time to see my family, and I haven't been going home as often either. And I miss my dog so much. Like,
oh, I'm literally... yes, I forgot you have little Pixel waiting for you.
Yes, he's my little spirit animal. But in any case, yeah, we really haven't had much of a life outside of this podcast.
No, I know. Can I be honest, though? Please. I love using this podcast as an excuse to not go out, though, because I hate
like
going
tonight.
Out.
Yes. You canceled.
I was like, I'm too busy with this podcast. I hate going out. Like, yeah. I love when people don't invite me anywhere mm-hmm. and I don't even have to tell someone, no, I can't go out. I love when I get uninvited.
Oh,
I love when like I don't get FOMO. I get more so like, don't invite me, please.
That's the opposite of me. I have such bad FOMO. Like I want to be invited to everything. Yes, I absolutely want to be invited to things. But, you know, the answer is probably going to be no, because when the day comes for the event, I'm like, I don't think I can do it.
Oh,
I don't want
gosh.
To.
You and I are so different, because when I don't get invited to things, I'm like, thank goodness.
Oh,
I was like,
really?
I'm staying home.
No, I want to be wanted. Wow. I think there's a meme float. There's a gif of me saying that from the show. I want to be wanted.
You said that?
I said that on the show.
Well, I want you, Deep D.
Oh, wait, that's so sweet. I want you. Wait, that sounded a little weird.
Okay, anyways, let's go into some Love is Blind news.
Let's do
it. Season 1's Lauren Speed Hamilton is going to be on a new reality TV show called The GOAT, which stands for The Greatest of All Time. The premiere date is TBD, but it's going to be on Amazon's Freevee. So I think it's maybe a new streaming,
like a streaming
platform.
Yeah. Maybe for reality TV, maybe?
Maybe. I've never heard of it, but it's going to be on some sort of streaming platform for Amazon. But it includes Joey Sasso from The Circle and Perfect Match, mm-hmm. Tayshia Adams and Joe Ambiel.
Mm-hmm. Grocery Store Joe.
Grocery Store Joe
yes.
from Bachelor Nation, and also Kristen Doty from VPR. Oh. I'm really excited for her. I think it's really cool that she is kind of branching away from Netflix and kind of taking on other opportunities with other networks. Mm-hmm. You know what I was just thinking, though?
Mm.
If this was us, you know, we would get so much hate.
Yeah. I feel like we get different treatment than the rest of the world in the reality space. I don't know why.
If anything we do or say doesn't match this, like, I think for you too, mm-hmm. this like professional, nice girl persona, mm-hmm. it's like, oh my gosh, they were lying to us about who they are. And it's like, actually, I've been very honest that I'm a BITCH.
I do not think you're a PITCA. The fact that you didn't even say that word, you barely curse.
Because, okay, someone DM'd me. One of you guys DM'd me saying, like, I can't listen to this because the explicit rating is on because we swear on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, okay, for our next episode, we'll try not to swear as much.
No, actually, my mom listens to this podcast and she also yelled at me about swearing. But I'm like, Mom, I heard that if you cuss, it actually means that you're happier. Like, you get less angry.
Who said that?
I don't know, me.
Source, I just think deep that. Deep.
Yeah, source me. No, I'm serious. It's like, it builds character, in my opinion. But in other news, which is also, this is old news, Josh actually got engaged on Love is Blind season 4 to another contestant named Monica. Did you hear about this?
I heard a little bit about it.
Yeah.
It was in a few news articles, and I think we just never mentioned it on this podcast. But when I read it, I was like, why wasn't that included on the show?
Yeah, I don't understand. But according to ET, Monica says, I wasn't sure if I had made the right decision or picked the right person. I wasn't at peace with my decision and ended our engagement shortly after filming. So looks like they were sent home, obviously, right after the proposals. And yeah, she ended the engagement shortly after that.
I hate when contestants do this because I feel like this is kind of an example of where contestants just get engaged to kind of move on the show.
Yeah.
And then when they're not chosen, they break up right away.
Yeah.
Because I think there's another couple on this season who wasn't part of the main cast that also did this. I think it was JP and Ava, where JP broke up with Ava right after they had seen each other at reveal, but then they weren't chosen to be filmed.
And then they just kind of ended it.
Yeah, I think he ended it with her and he goes, you know, I don't think that we should be engaged anymore. I think that we should just date. But it was a feeling of let's not be together.
Yeah, it was like the one step towards ending the relationship. You know, it is interesting because what if Josh and Monica did get chosen to be followed? Do you think that they would have been like, let's see where this goes? You know, like, I wonder if she would have been of the same sentiment, you know, if they did get followed.
My prediction is that Josh and Monica would have gone through the process and obviously at the altar would have said, someone would have said, I don't.
No. Yeah, exactly. It's just a matter of time.
But I wonder if they were followed, if Josh would have still met up with Jackie and they would have ended up together, because they do seem very happy now.
Yeah. The producers is like, we can't handle this much drama. We're not doing
this. We can't add another Josh and Monica up in here.
There's already one triangle.
Exactly. Irina recently confirmed that there is a very slim chance of her being on Perfect Match. I took it as she's not going to be on Perfect Match season 2, which was recently renewed a few weeks ago. So
how does she know that she's not going to be on it? I guess she hasn't gotten asked yet, maybe.
That's what I assume. Yeah. Or maybe she already knows that if she does get asked, she's going to say no. So she did a podcast interview with Zachary Reality, and she was saying, like, you know, I kind of want to wait a year before I do anything. So, and we can confirm that Perfect Match has not started filming yet, because I know that there's a few rumors. Some people DM'd us being like, well, you know, Perfect Match has already filmed. No, it hasn't.
No. But I am so excited for season 2.
You are?
Well, I just want to see who's going to be on it, because it's going to be a lot of new faces.
I really hope that there's actual, like, real couples on season 2, as in, like,
that are there for love.
Well, that these couples just don't break up right after filming ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be great to have that, you know, like Bachelor in Paradise, where people actually get engaged and some of them actually get married or date for, like, quite a bit after filming ends. But I feel like with Perfect Match season 1, it just, everyone broke up right after filming.
Which, that's exactly the comparison I was going to make. I feel like Netflix is trying to create this reality universe that kind of matches the vibe of Bachelor, Bachelorette, and now Bachelor in Paradise. So, like, Perfect Match is kind of equivalent to Bachelor in Paradise, essentially. And you know what I'm excited for in the future? I hope Netflix does this. Creates, like, the challenge style, like, of all the reality TV stars from Netflix. That would be so much fun. But I think there's going to have to be a lot more seasons of reality on Netflix to be able to make that happen. But I hope one day they do.
I agree. Okay, I'm really excited about this topic because we get so many questions about this, like how we make money post-show, you know, how we became influencers, who went into the show to be influencers, things like that. So we're so excited to just chat about it because you guys want to know so much about this world of influencing.
Yeah, and also we threw out a post on Instagram to kind of ask you guys for your questions too. So we'll kind of dive into those as well.
We're going to go from the very, very beginning when Deep D and I first stepped foot into those pods.
Ooh, yes.
Are you ready for this question?
I'm ready for the question. Let's go.
How many contestants do you think did the show to be influencers on our season? Ooh, out of the 15 women? We didn't have insight into the 15 men.
Yeah, that is a great question. Okay, but like, ask me this question. Am I thinking about this post show, so like retrospectively, or am I thinking like right when we walk in, who did I think like right away
when you walked in?
That is okay. This is going to be a hard one for me to answer then, because I'm not going to lie to you, during filming, the thought that someone was there just to further their careers or become an influencer, that thought never crossed my mind. Is that wild? Did yours?
Yes,
seriously. I don't know why that did not cross my mind
when I walked into the women's lounge, mm-hmm, on our first day. You can easily tell who was there,
yeah,
to be influencers and who was there for love and who was there just for the experience like I was. You could tell so easily. And then it got very apparent like 2-3 days into it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when I first came in, I was just so freaking overwhelmed. Look at me not cussing. I was so overwhelmed by the entire experience in itself. And I was so anxious and like nervous that I didn't really give a F about anyone else there. I was like, you do your thing. Like, I'm just trying to survive here, you know? But no, I think like 5-6 days into it, you could absolutely tell who was trying to get more attention, who would create fights for no reason. Like, you're right. It was pretty apparent.
Yeah. I would say out of the 15 women on our season, I would say 3 or 4 did it for love. Like, they were there because... Were you?
I was.
I actually wouldn't consider you in that category.
Fuck you. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm kidding. Bleep that out.
I'm sorry.
Okay, can I tell you why? Because I think you went for love and the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. I think there was, I would say, 3 or 4 people who really went in because nothing was working in the conventional dating world for them.
Yes.
And they really went in being like, this has to work for me. Yeah. Like, it was almost a sense of like desperation, mm-hmm, type of thing.
Yeah. In terms of dating and their love life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
I would say, so let's say that there was 3 women who, mm-hmm, went in truly, truly for love. I would say, sorry, I'm thinking in my head, like, the names.
4 to 5.
I would say 7 women went in just for the experience, not saying they were disingenuous or want to be influencers, but they're like, let's try this. This is a really cool experience, even if it works or doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I would put myself in that category.
Okay.
Where you just kind of like go with the flow, see if it'll work for you. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And, you know, you kind of move on.
Yeah. I absolutely wanted it to work for me. But you're right. I think half of me was definitely like, this could be such a cool experience in general. And what a bonus. Or like, how amazing if this is my love story. But I completely agree with you now that I'm even thinking back to it. I could tell by looking at people's appearances and their mannerisms, like, I was like, oh, like, I see you, like, I know what you're trying to do, like,
yeah,
you're trying to obviously become, you know, an influencer.
And I would say 5 women were, mm-hmm, like 100% there to become influencers, yeah, after the show.
Like, or they had businesses that they're trying to promote, yeah, like something along those lines. Yeah.
Like, they saw Love is Blind as a business opportunity.
Yeah. That's fucked. Damn, I don't know how to stop cursing.
That's fricked.
That's fricked. Oh, pulling a Mitch. Mitchell.
Yeah, if you guys know Mitchell from The Circle, he is known for saying frick it.
Frickin. With an I, right?
So we are going to try to do that so that we don't have to put on the explicit rating, but obviously we failed already. So
sorry, not in this episode.
And those 5 women were, they would just cry on camera for no reason. Like you said, like start fights with other girls and we'd be like, huh?
Yeah. Where did this come from?
I was like, why are you like being so dramatic right now? Or just like say or do things that were so just out of the ordinary. Like you're just like, why did you just say that?
Yeah. Or like really share like very emotionally charged stories.
And over, like, and over again.
Hoping that it would make TV. Yeah.
They're like hoping that like, there's enough footage for it to show.
Yeah.
That's when I knew. I was like, these girls just want to be here because they want to make it through. They were like trying to be interesting characters to make sure that they were chosen. to make main cast.
You know what that just reminded me of? Even on the guy's side, because obviously we went on dates with them, and I'm not going to say the person because I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but I remember on one of the dates, he was like, I'm going to say the most outlandish things, hoping that it lands on TV. Like, just like, under, like, you know what I mean? Just like stupid things that, like,
I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about? Yes. To just be like, I just want to get aired, so I'm just going to say the dumbest shit, even though that's not how I feel.
Thankfully, I think the producers catch on. Yes. And I can confidently say in the main cast of the five women, you, me, Ayana, Mallory, and Danielle, mm-hmm. I'll say, like, none of us went in trying to be influencers.
No. Also, like, what the fuck are we influencing?
I know. People say that about you and me specifically, mm-hmm. that we went in to be influencers. But I'm like, no, we didn't. We were such, like,
normal, like, people.
Well, I don't know how to say it. Like, I'm not saying that our, like, confidence is low. Like, I don't want people to think, like, we have low self-esteem.
No, no.
But when you are, like, just this normal person.
Yes.
Like, I don't think anyone walks in and be like, I'm going to be an influencer after yeah, this.
Exactly. No. Especially because, like, I'm definitely an average looking person.
Same.
Even with my fashion, I literally wear black, athleisure, and neutral colors. And I don't care about branded items whatsoever. I'm like, whatever's comfortable, I'm wearing it. And, like, even makeup, like, maybe it takes me 10, 15 minutes. And, like, it didn't really... I couldn't even like understand that there was so much out there in that world. But anyways.
Yeah, because I think, like, how we viewed influencers during filming is, like, typically these, like, very beautiful women who, like, pay a lot of attention to, like, what they wear and, like, how they do their makeup, and they take, like, these perfect photos. And, like, we did not do that. Like, if you don't do that, we're like, there's no way we could be influencers. So the thought never crossed my mind throughout filming, and even post filming as well. Did it, like, cross yours when you realized you made main cast?
Absolutely not. I was so like in my own head with how this, my life and my love life and all of this stuff was going to go down, that, like, influencing was the furthest thing from my mind. And if I'm being quite honest with you, even coming into that, can I just say I had maybe 1,000 followers, and those are just, like, friends and family. But when people talk about influencers, I had no idea that influencers were even a thing, because I'm literally following maybe a few famous people that I just love, like actors, actresses, whatever. But that's pretty much it. So, like, my world didn't even, like, my head didn't even, like, comprehend the fact that there was a world in which, like, just normal, regular people got a giant, like, Instagram following or a social media following.
So, okay, so I knew because, like, you know, like, you have the Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants.
Never watched it. Never watched Bachelor
and Bachelorette. Like, you've heard their names. Like, Caitlin Bristow. Like, she obviously gained a large following, and you didn't.
Can I just tell you, I had no idea who she was before I did Love is Blind. I had no idea. Because my sister-in-law and my sister, they were, like, watching that show. I never watched it.
Good for you. So, for me, I was aware that, yes, reality TV contestants can become influencers after the show, just based on people from Bachelor Nation. So from The Bachelor or Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise. But because of how I looked and who I was like, that could just never be me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not this tall, skinny white woman.
Yeah.
And that's typically who you see as, like, influencers. And I was like, you know, there's just no way it could happen for us.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I guess I did watch The Challenge, like the MTV Challenge, a lot. And obviously Jersey Shore and people like that. But I guess when I follow them, I didn't realize, like what they were posting had anything to do with, like, that they were getting paid so much to do it until after the fact. So
when did you realize that you could become an influencer?
Yeah.
Off of season two?
Honestly, as soon as, like, the show had aired, obviously I was getting, like, an influx of followers. Every time I would get onto Instagram, I would have, like, 15K, 20K, 30K more. And that's, like, just within minutes, which is absolutely insane. But it wasn't until one brand reached out to me, because I put in just my personal email. I didn't even have a manager at this point. And someone reached out to me, and it was a brand that I absolutely loved. It was Fenty, actually.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, oh my God, it's Fenty. And they reached out to me, and they're like, we would love to work with you. And, you know, this is how much you're going to get paid. And then I was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? Like, for one story frame or for one post? Like, I had no idea. How about for you?
So I started thinking about it 2 months before our season aired. Mm-hmm. That's when we got the heads up, like when our season would air, that it was like probably coming in February.
Smart.
And then I started looking at the season one cast and their Instagram profiles. And I saw that they were all doing ads mm-hmm. and monetizing somehow, whether it was through like YouTube or again, doing just these like sponsorship posts. And that's when I started thinking about like, okay, how do I monetize off this experience and, you know, kind of like prep for that. Wait. So that's when I like started reaching out to like PR managers or like agents who could help negotiate ads and like bring partnerships to me.
Wait, that's so smart of you. Like you basically did some research. I was so tied up in like my relationships.
Your world.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm just trying to find love. Like, because obviously I had that whole thing with Kyle going on. So like,
oh yeah, that was happening like pre our season coming out.
Yeah. So I was just like in that whole world of it. And like, I was so anxious about how the show would play out, like, because Shake had already said certain things to me about, oh, like, hopefully you have my back, like, hopefully nothing's, so like, there was a lot of emotional turmoil that I was going through, so I didn't even think to do that kind of research. In fact, I didn't even get a manager until a month and a half after the show aired.
Yeah, I think I got my manager right as my season was airing, because wow. they also want to see, like, who you are on the show, mm-hmm. like, what your edit or portrayal is going to be,
right.
because obviously if you get a negative portrayal, it's really hard for you to get brands to
sponsor you. Yeah.
To sponsor you, because they don't, you know, they're very picky in terms of like who they want as like representatives of their brand. Yeah. But no, I was thinking about it 2 months before, but I feel like that's part of my personality. Like, mm-hmm. I know like a lot of people obviously don't know me. You're only getting like that glimpse of, you know, the show.
The 10%. Yeah.
The 10%. And like, obviously I could talk about it on this podcast, but I just am like an over planner.
Yeah.
And I feel like the business acumen I have, just like naturally, I was like, I need a plan for this.
Yeah. No, that's really smart of you. Honestly, because I come from a technology background, like I was a data analyst, and like I was just hoping that I could use the platform to create something with technology and like health and wow. like inspirational things. And that's still a goal of mine in the future. But like, I never thought influencing or brand deals could be like the leverage I needed to like kind of sponsor that or fund that, essentially.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting that you did your research, baby.
I had that. I mean, are you surprised?
Like, no, look at me. I know you. If you guys only knew.
Like when it comes to like finances and yeah. making money, I feel like I'm always on top of it. It's just mm-hmm. like who I am. And like, why wouldn't I take advantage of the, yeah. you know, the being able to monetize off the show?
I completely agree.
I'd be an idiot to not do that because it's such a short window to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, until you're irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly, where you can't do it anymore. So yeah. I was like, why wouldn't I jump on it? Mm-hmm. Like, I would encourage any person who does a reality TV show or something that results in an influx of followers to yeah. take advantage of it fully. Like, who cares about people? Yeah. Like, people called me like ad queen. People said I was like a clout chaser and queen. I did it for like influencing. And to be honest, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because if you were in my situation, you would do exactly the same, because yes. that money can pay for my kids' college mm-hmm. one day. It could pay for my first home. Yes. It could pay for my parents' retirement home. All these things. I was like, why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah, it would be dumb if you not to, you know, leverage the platform that you have. And I think that's what people like don't see.
Yeah.
And they don't know. They just don't know how much, like how many possibilities there are out there to make money. And if they got handed the same opportunity, you know, they would fucking do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain Morgan's sweet chili lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's sweet chili lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's sweet chili lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's sweet chili lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
How much have you made from influencing?
Oh, okay. We're getting personal. I mean, I'm not going to give you an exact number, but I've definitely made well over six figures. And I'm so surprised that that was even a possibility for me. But how about you? How much have you made? Give me a number.
since you won't share, I won't share. But I have made 3 times my corporate salary.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
In less than a year.
It's insane. Yes, in less than a year. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely insane.
It's crazy because I do know influencers who have less followers than we do, and they've made over 7 figures. Yeah, it really depends on, like, if you have the look a brand is going for, mm-hmm. and you also, like, hustle for brand sponsorships by, like, constantly tagging brands that, like, you use in your everyday life and hoping it turns into some sort of sponsorship or partnership.
And another thing to add on top of that also is that I've learned this, like, just because you have 1 million followers, like, followers doesn't mean that you're going to get paid out in the same way. Yeah. Like, somebody who has 200K followers, but has, like, very high engagement, gets link clicks, is actually able to sell you, like, products from the brand, that actually, like, gives you the upper hand than just having, like, normal followers. Because even if you have a big amount of followers, that doesn't really necessarily equate to engagement and products being sold. So it really depends on, like, the engagement of it all, essentially.
Yeah, because I think that there's this misconception that if you have, like, 1 million followers, mm-hmm. like, you are set for life, like, you're making tons of money. No. Because I actually do know 2 people from... Mm-hmm. the Love is Blind seasons who have more than 1 million followers, and they've only made like 50K.
Yeah.
Which is very low compared to what other people are making.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with you. And it's like, yeah, it's just a different ball game. And you can really see, like, how marketing in general is changing now. Like, it would be stupid for marketers not to use, like, companies not to use social media. Yeah, a lot of the money that you make on Instagram is really, really dependent on what the brand is looking for. And obviously, you have to match the look and feel that they're going for. So it really depends on how you brand yourself and how you, you know, put out content. So it's very, like, dependent on you, is what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, people say this all the time about how boring my Instagram is and why it's so curated.
I think it's fun.
But it's curated because that's kind of the look and brand I want to put out there, mm-hmm. mostly to monetize. Like, sure, I share little tidbits of my personality, but I think who I am naturally, which is like really, which is like horrendous. I'm just kidding. But like, guys, I'm going to be for real
horrendous.
Right now. I think people think I'm this, like, professional, like, person, and I'm not.
You are professional, but you have another side.
I have this other side, and I will never show that side on Instagram because I will never get any brand deals if I do.
That's what TikTok is for.
Well, that's what this podcast is for.
Oh, that too. Hopefully no brands are listening.
Yeah, I know. Like, hope no one's on this podcast listening to me.
But no, it does make sense because obviously brands are looking for an ROI, and, you know, it makes sense that they are going to handpick the people that are going to match their brand style.
So I guess what we're saying is follower count does not matter at all. Like, someone with 150K follower might be making way more.
Or just as much.
Just as much as Deep D and I. Mm-hmm. I know that there's people on our season, like a few of the women, who are making way less. Mm-hmm. And again, it just comes down to your brand image. Yeah. Does it fit, you know, what the brand wants and who they want representing the brand? Like, I get a lot of finance companies who want to work with me because, you know, I talked about 401k on Love is Blind, and, you know, I just came out being just looking like physically responsible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it really depends on, like, what your personal brand is.
No. Yeah.
What's the highest you've been paid for an ad?
Yes. Okay. So
Deep D's uncomfortable.
I just don't like to talk about finances in a weird way.
Because it's like, don't you feel like you're showing off?
Yes. I feel like I'm showing off. And it's like, it doesn't mean that I don't want to hustle and continue working really hard in other areas of my life. But anyways, for one Instagram reel, I got paid over 60K.
That's really good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. What was your biggest payout from a brand deal?
50K.
Okay.
And that was for real.
Okay. Yeah. See, we're in the same realm. Yeah.
No, I'm a bit lower.
Not really that much lower.
But yeah, that was my biggest payout. Yeah. I know, like, there's been influencers who got paid like 200K or like, 100K mm-hmm. for ads. But my highest was 50K. And I was like, I can't believe someone's willing to pay me this amount for an Instagram reel.
Yeah. What I was really excited about, because the highest paid one, obviously the one that was over 60K, was so amazing to me because it's a company that I used prior to Love is Blind, like for many, many years. So for them to reach out to me and be like, hey, we're interested. And I was like, holy shit, I'm so excited, because it seemed authentic too. So I was like, oh, it comes full circle. Like, I'm so excited that this is the brand that kind of really believes in you to, you know, highlight their products in a good way.
Yeah. So how I get brand deals is I will tag everything I use and wear, and they'll typically come back and be like, do you want to do a paid ad? Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm like, oh, I already use this product. I try not to do any ads of things like I don't use or mm-hmm. I haven't like at least tried because I don't know. I just don't want to lose like the loyalty of the people who trust my reviews or, mm-hmm. you know, like where I can authentically say, like, I use this.
Yeah. And can I be really honest with you about that? When I first started getting brand deals, I've used them here or there, whatever, but I would say yes because of the paycheck originally. But then I started to learn. I was like, holy shit, like I have a responsibility to my followers. So that's when I kind of like changed gears and I was like, okay, I'm going to request the brand to send me products that I haven't tried if I've already been using their brand. So that I can see if it really works before I promote it, which is why I really try to stay away from like prescription things, like even like vitamins most of the time. Like the highest I go with health is probably like green juices and things like that, because that is very near and dear to me. But
very near and dear to me, green juices.
I freaking love green juices. Like,
you do.
It's like a multivitamin. It literally is. A juice is like a vitamin.
Well, I take supplements and vitamins. Mm-hmm. So for the ones that I do use, if I get a brand deal off of it, I was like, I'll definitely share it. Like Care of, I actually do use.
Care of, yeah, me too. I love the little pack, the personalized packages that they give. Shout out to Care of, apparently.
Care of, if you want to sponsor this podcast episode.
That's so funny.
Can we talk about the influencer world that we're now kind of a part of? Mm-hmm. We get invited to so many events.
I hate it.
I kind of hate it too.
Yeah.
So we get invited to a lot of events where there's other influencers. And one of the things that was really eye-opening are so many people are so different than how they portray themselves on social media. I think us included
100%.
In some way.
Yes.
Like, we obviously put our best foot forward on social media, mm-hmm. but I was shocked at just like how different people can be. I think that influencing culture can be very toxic. You are constantly trying to keep up with everyone. There's this weird competition aspect against other influencers. I don't think you and I ever do that.
No.
But I think the events that we've gone to where we meet other influencers, you could tell like everyone is so competitive with each other. Mm-hmm. It's such a strange world. Yeah. And I like try to be like very distant from that world.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think that's why you and I like kind of gravitate towards each other. I'm like, whenever we're at events together and you're like butterflying away or I do, I'm like, at some point, I'm just like, where's Natalie? I need to find her, because I feel like I don't belong in that world whatsoever. Because
I'm glad we don't.
No, I agree with you. And it's just like, it's just this culture of like, let's do TikToks together because we're in the same room. And then as soon as the TikTok is over, they're just like, go their separate ways, or like, don't really get to know each other. Or like they just take pictures and like, look who I was with. And you know, it is, I agree with you. It's very toxic. And
people use each other often to like grow their following. I was actually talking to an influencer here in Chicago, and she just outwardly said like, oh yeah, I like to do TikToks with this person because my follower count always grows every time she's in my TikToks. And I was like, that is so messed up that you just said that out loud. Like that's a thought that should be in your head.
That's exactly. And like, that's a thought you shouldn't even have.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even have thoughts like that.
And so I think in that community, I'm sure that, you know, real friendships can grow from it. But mm-hmm. I think that there's this really unhealthy side of it where everyone's just using each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have imposter syndrome so much lately, especially when we get invited to these events too. I'm just like, sometimes I look at my life, I'm like, why the fuck did I get this following? Like, why am I here?
Yeah.
And, you know, I do realize my purpose though after that. But
what's your purpose?
I really feel like I got this platform for a reason. Yes, there's a part of me that makes money off of these brand deals and things like that, but it's so that I can use that as leverage to create businesses in the future that are actually going to help and impact people in a positive way. And like, ultimately my goal in life is to open like a wellness center, like where you're doing yoga, meditation, like juicing and like all that like positive, happy things. And it's going to take money and time before I get there. So I feel like both of us right now have to hustle to be able to fulfill whatever dream that is that we're going to like have, that we want to like play out in the future, you know?
I'm glad you have these big dreams because I don't. Can I tell you what my future looks like?
Please tell me.
I think that I will influence for the short term,
mm-hmm.
and then probably go back to doing my corporate job full time. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so glad you have those big dreams, because like, mm-hmm. I haven't really thought where I could take my platform beyond just like sharing finance advice yeah. here and there. So we asked you guys to submit your questions about influencing on our Instagram page, Out of the Pods. And so we're going to answer a few of them right now. I'm so excited.
Let's do it. I'm like pulling it up. So don't mind me on my phone. I'm not texting, I promise you.
Well, they don't know because they're listening.
Well, some people are watching.
Okay, for
for those who are watching, I promise I'm not texting.
If you guys are listening and not watching us on YouTube, we have pulled up our phones and we're going to ask your questions.
Ask away. Okay, you pick one, then I'll pick one.
Okay, let me see the ones that are like most asked. Okay, first question. How did being on the show affect your real job? Did it force you to influence full time?
Okay, I love this question because I hate when people are like, well, you just quit your job to be an influencer. Well, yes, I did. But there's a reason. There's such a good reason behind it. I was working half the year last year after the show came out. I was still working and doing brand deals at the same time. And honestly, I was like giving both things 50%. I still had a 9-to-5. And then you know how it goes. Like after a long day of work, you literally just want to lay down and do nothing, or you want to go work out, take care of yourself. But instead, I had to film ads. I had to like get on meetings and, you know, figure out contract, all this stuff. There's so much happening along with the emotional turmoil that you're going through from the after effects of the show and, you know, your relationship flailing on screen and whatever else, yada, yada. But to get to my point, I literally wasn't putting in my 100% into something. And when I saw that I could make so much more money doing influencing and working with brand deals versus my, you know, data analyst position, I was like, it's risky. It was so risky. And, you know, even my dad was like, what are you going to do about your 401k? What about health insurance? Like, there was all of these things that I was very concerned about. But if you don't take risks, you're not going to get the success that you know, deserve, or that, you know, you can get after. So I realized, I was like, you know what, I'm going to have to quit so that I can actually put all of my time and effort into something. Okay, Nat, I have a fun one for you. do you feel like you've changed as a person since you became an influencer?
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
Okay, in what
way? I feel like I've become there have been like moments where my ego has been really high. I guess not even an influencer. I think being a contestant on a popular reality TV show, mm-hmm. your ego gets inflated for a short amount of time until like your friends and family like bring you back to earth. But I think in that way, I did change. I also feel like I became more pessimistic about the world. Mm-hmm. Like when you start meeting people in the entertainment industry where it's so much more cutthroat and you can't really trust anyone. And then other influencers as well who are, you know, like people are constantly using each other. You just become more like untrustworthy or pessimistic about life because yeah. of those experiences. I was really proud that you wrote a book, but I know that you also got backlash for it. People yeah. being like, what gives her the right to write a book? Like, how did that make you feel?
Honestly, I was very disappointed, but it doesn't negate from the fact that I got so much support, and that's why it keeps me, or I'm so happy that I did it because of that reason, because so many people have read and been like, I totally like understand your perspective and I've gone through the same type of life experiences. You're always going to have haters. But yeah, it did really frustrate me because, you know, any person can write a book. You don't have to be yeah. in reality TV. Like literally no one, you know, you don't have to have that influence. But I didn't even make that much money off my book. I did it more for me and to share my story because I had this platform. I didn't know what to do with it. How am I going to give out my entire life story in what, one Instagram post? Like, that's not possible. So I decided the best avenue was writing a book.
I'm so proud that you did that. And I really didn't understand the feedback, because you see people from, let's say, like Bachelor Nation, but also you have Lauren Cameron, who wrote a book. Yeah. And the backlash you got compared to them was ridiculous. Yeah. And I think it comes down to our viewers and the fandom of Love is Blind, is everyone is under this thing of like, move on. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, why can't we talk about Love is Blind even 5 years from now?
Yeah.
It's like telling me I can't talk about my alma mater, my college, after I've graduated.
That makes no sense. People are like diehard college fans and they talk about it for years.
But here's the thing about you writing a book. I know people are like, what story does she have to share? Mm-hmm. If you want to write a book, why the hell not?
Yeah. Anyone. I encourage anyone out there who has a short story to tell, write a book, like, or figure it out
on your
own. And
what an amazing, sorry, but like, why, if you ever want to write a book, like, why wouldn't you take advantage of that opportunity to do it and say, like, I was an author. I would love to write a book. I mean, like, not about my life, but like fiction, like stories like that are always in my mind. But I was like, I could never have even had that thought if I didn't have the platform I have. I'm not going to write a book, but what I'm just trying to say
is
like, the opportunities, like, you know, like when you have get the followers or people know your name from the show, those thoughts are like going through your head of like, how do I take advantage of this short amount of time where I can do the things I've always wanted to do?
Okay. One more for you. Do you feel the pressure to maintain a certain image for brand deals?
Yes. On my Instagram. I know that this is a really good example. There have been obviously like public spats with my ex. And people are always like, why didn't you post like receipts? But I just won't, because I don't want like brands and also like my coworkers and like my boss to ever see anything like messy that I'm going to post on my Instagram stories. Because again, like that's how you monetize, is like mostly through Instagram. So I do feel that pressure of maintaining a certain image. However, I think on TikTok and in comments that I'll make on Instagram, like in the comment section, like I don't feel that pressure. I'm like, I'm just going to be who I am. Even if like Ayana posts like an embarrassing TikTok of me, I'm like, I don't care, because that's who I am. But it's Instagram where I'm a little bit more careful.
Actually, it's so right. You really don't care about, you're so funny. And like, I just wish people got more of that side of you. So,
but I get so much backlash about my humor.
Why? Oh yeah. Cause people just don't know you wholeheartedly. That's why.
This is a cute question. Do former cast members like yourselves help new cast members with anything related to influencing?
Ooh, I like that question. Yes. So current castmates do reach out to us for advice. And, you know, personally, a couple of them have, and I've chatted with them about it. And all we can do is give them honest advice and be like, hey, listen, I know exactly where your head is at. And it's probably scrambled in so many different directions. But yeah, giving them some insight into how we started and like what managers to work with, or like how brand deals like come to you, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we definitely try to give the best advice, but also letting them know, like, we're not experts on this. This is just how it happened for me.
Yeah, I'd say for season four, I provided a few of them with like what I know, like things to look out for in their contracts, or how much they should potentially be paid, you know, based on their engagement and like the brand. So we definitely do share that amongst the seasons and with, you know, the current cast.
Yeah. So speaking of that, do you want to answer the question for the people? Do we get paid to be on Love is Blind?
We do get paid to be on Love is Blind. Are we allowed to share the amount?
I don't know if we are. I think
it's very, it's
small.
It's not a lot.
It's a stipend. It's a stipend.
It's a stipend. It's not a lot. I can tell you that. Yeah, it's not really a lot.
Especially after taxes, it's not a lot.
Yeah, it's not enough for people to do the show for money.
Yeah, absolutely not. This was such a fun episode. I just absolutely loved getting all of these comments and questions about influencing. And, you know, I hope you guys can stay engaged with us in the future. So please, please, please continue to send those to our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe. Deepti and I will be chatting about fun topics like this in future episodes. And we also have some fun guests planned. So see you next Monday.
Bye.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.